Call the meeting to order. First of all, I would say it wasn't me who picked the 8:15 time slot, so don't hold me accountable for that, but thanks for being here and showing up. We are going to try to start the committee on time as much as possible, probably like all the other committees, so we'll kick off right on 8:15. With respect to seating, you know, sit wherever you want, grab your name tag and have a seat. We won't be doing roll call or any of that sort of thing, so it's just up for you to get here and to make the meetings. So let's start just by introducing ourselves so everyone knows who's at the table and who the staff are and so forth, and we'll just go around in that fashion. I'm Sheldon Johnson. I live on the east side of St. Paul. I'm in my seventh term here at the Capitol, and pleased to be here.
I'm Connor McNutt. I'm the committee legislative assistant, recent graduate of the U of M with a political science degree, and very happy to be working for the committee and all of you. Thanks.
And I'm Anita Newman from House Research, and in addition to covering this committee, I also have the Jobs and Economic Development Committee.
But you like this one better.
Oh, of course.
I'm Mike Benson. I represent District 26B, which is the southern tip of Rochester and a good portion of Homestead County. This is my second term.
Peter Fisher, 43A, which represents the parts of Maplewood, White Bear Lake, and then all of Birchwood, Montemita, and Willerney.
Marion O'Neill, 29B, which is Buffalo, Monticello, and Maplewood.
Shannon Savick, 27A, which is Freeborn County, part of Faribault County, Blooming Prairie, and a little corner of Dodge County.
Jason Metza, District 6B, and east side the Iron Range.
Newtown, Rookavina.
The taller, better-looking version of.
You didn't need to say that.
Kurt Oliver, with the DFL Caucus Research and Jason Matters, and from the East Side of St. Paul.
I'm Carolyn Lane from Columbia Heights, New Brighton, and St. Anthony.
I'm Mark Uglum, representing 36A, Champlin, and part of Coon Rapids.
Eric Simonson, 7B, west half of Duluth.
Tim O'Driscoll, represent District 13B, which is Sartell, Sauk Rapids, St. Stephen, Holdingford, and a number of townships in the central Minnesota area.
I'm Michael Nelson. I represent 40A, which is the southern half of Brooklyn Park.
Joe Hoppe from Chaska.
I'm Mike Sundin from 11A, Mr. Chairman.
Chris Kwapik. I'm the committee administrator for the committee.
And did we do the pages over there?
No, this
I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go.
I'm John Reynolds. I'm the Republican Caucus researcher.
Thank you. And I see another member coming down here. We're just doing introductions.
Okay. Sorry.
And most embarrassing.
That's all right.
I don't really think
so. Just who you are.
Hi, Representative Andrea Kiefer from Woodbury. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, no. It's all right. Now, in terms of where we're going with the committee in the next couple of weeks, it's pretty much, as you'll see with other committees, some basic overviews of areas that we'll probably be engaged in over the next couple months. The committee, of course, is labor, workplace, and regulated industries. Generally, we'll be dealing with labor and workplace bills whose main thrust isn't have money appropriations with it. Those type of bills will go to Mahoney's Jobs and Economic Development Finance Committee. So that, with respect to regulated industries, if you're wondering what we're talking about there, it's primarily, as best I can tell, be issues around telecommunications, cable, broadband, telephone, those kinds of issues. So that's kind of in a general sense the purview of the committee that you're sitting on here. There are some rules that are handed out, and again, those are pretty boilerplate. The only thing I would note, there's a small update to the rules and procedures on item number 5. I am asking for a 24-hour rule on amendments, mainly so we can get those posted on the internet as need be. If they're major amendments, substantial amendments, that get them 24 hours in advance, that'd be preferable. Other than that, the rules are pretty much pretty straightforward. So any questions, just to kind of start off, I see this tomorrow when we meet again, we have the Bureau of Mediation Services and Department of Labor and Industry. And next week, I can't remember what it is, but I think it has to do with some more telecom-oriented. The PUC and the Minnesota High Tech Association will be looking more at the telecom-type matters. So that's where things are at this point. Anybody have any questions right now?
Mr. Chair, just a procedural question as relates to number 5 on the rules and procedures. With getting the amendments to committee staff 24 hours in advance, that's great. What's the method of distributing those so that members will be able to see them? Are they going to be posted on the website? Or are they going to be delivered by staff to members? Or?
My thought was posting on the website, probably the most easy for people to access. We'll try to get them over to you guys, you know, and similar, I'm sure you guys will as well.
So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, with that, if there's no further questions, I think we can go right into today's overview, and we're fortunate to have the Commissioner of Deed here, and if you want to come up to the table, that would be great. And if you'd be so good as to introduce yourself to the committee, and go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good morning. I'm Katie Clark-Sieben, Commissioner of Deed.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead with your presentation.
Well, I'm truly honored to be invited to present to all of you this morning. There's some really exciting, great work happening within our department. And I believe all of you have a copy of the presentation, hopefully in front of you. To start out, for those of you that are not familiar or as familiar with the Department of Employment and Economic Development, our mission is to enhance the economic success of individuals, businesses, and communities. A lot of great work happening in our agency. We're focused on attracting, retaining, growing business, increasing exports, and attracting foreign direct investment, matching skilled workers and jobs that are in demand, helping Minnesotans with disabilities find jobs and independence, and supporting unemployed workers and stabilizing communities. Our budget is a total of $809 million, but 71% of that budget is federal dollars. The general fund is just 10% of our budget and a total of $81 million. And you can see the bar graph below. We've broken out the general fund so you can have an idea of how that breaks out. Our vocational rehab has almost 50% of those general fund dollars. Business and community development is 28%. That's where all of our economic development incentive programs are housed. State services for the blind is 15% of that general fund. And then the Minnesota Trade Office, 4%. Workforce development is 2%, and admin is 2%. Total full-time employees at the agency, 1,622. Those are employees that are stationed all across the state in St. Paul and our 48 workforce centers across the state. Largest division is our workforce development division with 502 employees, unemployment insurance around 433, voc rehab 383, and then on down. Our economic development side of the organization, our business and community development team has 49 employees, and the Minnesota Trade Office, our smallest team, with 14 employees. On the next page, we've divided up our teams into both economic development and our workforce development division. So our Economic Development Division, which includes the Business and Community Development Team and the Minnesota Trade Office, the main focus of this team is to grow business and communities, provide loans and grants to increase business and community vitality, and to have tax incentives to encourage business investment. And we provided one spotlight on two of our incentive programs, MIF and JobZ, that Polaris Industries received a $400,000 forgivable loan from the MIF program, as well as JobZ, and they will be increasing 350 additional jobs at their facility. Budget base for this area, which I highlighted a bit on the previous page, but as it breaks out, Business and Community Development Team is $22.9 million from the General Fund, and the Trade Office is currently $3 million from the General Fund. For fiscal year 2012, we wanted to provide some highlights of outcomes from this team's work. We trained over 19,000 workers. We had over 45,000 small business information requests that were serviced by our team. The Trade Office had was in contact with 15,000 companies and had almost 1,500 attendees at training programs throughout the year. And we awarded $46.4 million for business and community investment projects, which you'll see in the next box below. That $46.4 million in awards brought in $490 million in private investment in business development expansions and $558 million in private investment from infrastructure projects. Jobs created through these business assistance programs were just around 2,500, and then small business capital formation around 100 million, and our exports continue to grow. We've had eight straight quarters of export growth and hit a record last year of 20.3 billion exported from across the state. Our Workforce Development Division is focused on independence, training, and jobs. So this is where our unemployment insurance program is housed, disability determination, independent living, and senior services, as well as training for dislocated workers, our voc rehab program, which focuses on providing job training for disabled Minnesotans, youth services to help economically disadvantaged youth find jobs, and our fast track program, which is focused on getting low income adults the credentials that they need to find a career path and move upwards in a career, not just attain one job and end up back on unemployment insurance. Jobs, we do have MinnesotaWorks.net, where we have the most recent number I saw, we had about 27,000 open positions available on that database. We have 48 workforce centers across the state that are helping serve Minnesotans that are out of work or looking for work. Our voc rehab program I mentioned, and then our extended unemployment program is also in this division. So our workforce development division general fund is only $1.7 million. This is largely a federally funded program. Voc rehab at $39.7 million, and state services for the blind at $11 million, and then unemployment insurance is federally funded. Outcomes for fiscal year 2012 for this team, we served 306,000 Minnesotans. We had a focus on our military veterans and ensuring veterans returned to work and served over 20,000 vets. Businesses posting jobs on our Minnesota Works website, over close to 10,000 companies. And then UI Benefits paid $1.35 billion to 235,000 individuals. And this team, we have an excellent system. It's nationally recognized for how efficient our unemployment insurance program is. Performance measures, workers trained, just over 19,000. As I mentioned, our UI team is nationally recognized. Their timely appeals, eligibility determinations, and payments were between 85% to 92%. Entered employment after workforce service, 83,000. And then our average hourly wage after workforce service was $15.20. And the amount of resumes in our database is 82,000. And then last, people with disabilities that were that achieved independence through these programs, 16,213. On the last page, I just wanted to highlight a few of the results from 2012 that we were especially pleased with. Another in the spotlight, through DEED's economic development incentive programs, we worked with Geringhoff, which is a German manufacturer that was interested in the St. Cloud area. They did open a 110,000 square foot building in St. Cloud to manufacture corn harvesting equipment. Companies investing $20 million in the project and will create 100 jobs in the first phase and have said that they expect expansion far beyond those 100 jobs. And this was achieved through DEED providing the $500,000 forgivable loan under MIF and incentives through the Jobs E-Tax program and some really great collaboration with the St. Cloud Chamber, with the St. Cloud Private Economic Development Group. The mayor was very engaged as well. Other results that we'd like to highlight, I mentioned that we focused on veterans. We reached out to 6,000 veterans that were returning from active deployment, encouraging them to either open a small business or grow their small business. We had a focus on cleaning up polluted sites. We invested $4.2 million to clean up 15 contaminated sites for new development, which leveraged $4.2 million in additional investment and created or retained nearly 600 jobs. We provided $3.9 million from the Minnesota Job Skills Partnership Program, which helped 4,400 workers learn new skills, including 4,000 incumbent workers and 400 new hires. And this program is a match between MinSCU school and a company and provides customized training for their worker population. With expanding exports, we received a grant from the SBA and administered this grant to small businesses to help them begin exploring international markets. We provided $450,000 to small businesses through that program. And we achieved successful employment outcomes for people with disabilities. Almost 2,500, making this the second straight year since the recession that the agency exceeded its employment goals. We were involved with nearly half of the 96 business expansions that were announced in the state through the first 9 months of the year, attracted more than $650 million in investments and created 3,000 jobs, and we allocated $12 million in angel investment tax credits, attracting $49.5 million in private investments for nearly 70 startup businesses. We also established an Emerging Entrepreneurs Fund to help small businesses owned by women, minorities, and others in economically distressed areas, and our small business development centers, there are 9 centers across the state, provided technical assistance to 2,700 small business clients who established 143 new small businesses and gained more than $100 million in capital with 3,375 jobs. So as you can see, there's some really fantastic work being done by this agency. We are constantly looking at how can we improve as well and how do we ensure that Minnesota is competitive with other states when it comes to economic development incentives or a skilled workforce, and it's something that we can need to continually strive to do better. One piece of information that I'd also like to share with you today, we do have profiles of each of your districts, so you can specifically see how many Minnesotans we've touched in your own district. I could have help. And with that, I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. One area that I think the committee will probably be looking at is unemployment insurance. Do you have someone with you who can tell us what exactly unemployment insurance is, how it works, how does one get it?
I do. I would like to welcome our director.
Some context to that whole issue.
Our director of unemployment insurance, Rick Caligiuri.
Mr. Chair, committee members, for the record, I'm Rick Caligiuri, and I direct the unemployment insurance program at DEED. And basically, the unemployment insurance program is a federal-state partnership. There's a framework of federal laws that all states have to comply with, and the revenue for unemployment insurance is, and the program is basically paid for by employers through a payroll tax. And there are basically two taxes, the FUTA tax and the SUTA tax, which the federal portion of the payroll tax and the state portion of the payroll tax. And this tax is on the first $29,000 of wages for every individual who works for an employer who's covered under the unemployment insurance laws. In Minnesota, that's about 130,000 employers. And the revenue is transferred to Washington to an account in federal account in Washington. Each state has their own account from this payroll tax, and that's basically how the benefits are paid. Individuals are deemed eligible by their history of employment and their wage credits. And Minnesota was the first state to completely automate the system. All states are moving toward automation for effectiveness and efficiency. And Minnesota was the first state to go live in 2005 with a completely integrated automated unemployment insurance system with all three components of the unemployment insurance program, which would be the tax or the revenue side, paying of benefits, and then also the legal side of appeals. So we were the first to automate. We're kind of a model for the rest of the nation. Ironically, the second state to fully automate all three of those components and have them integrated is going up right about now, and they copied our system, and that would be New Mexico. Other states have components of their system automated, but no one else has integrated all three components. So applicants would file for unemployment either online or over the phone with our customer service phone center. About 85 to 90% of all of the claims are filed online, and the rest come into our customer service center. We in Minnesota, we have a mini recession every year. We're the most seasonal state for unemployment insurance activity. In any given year, in a normal year, about half the claims filed in any year are temporary or seasonal. So starting in Thanksgiving and going through March, that's our mini recession every year. We're in the peak of that right now. So there are close to 100,000 Minnesotans that are requesting benefits, a little over 97,000 as of the end of last week. And as I said, that tapers off starting in March when construction ramps up and other seasonal industries ramp up. And but things are going very efficiently. Also, I will say that coming out of the recession, the Great Recession was a huge test for the unemployment insurance system nationwide. There are still 26 states who are in debt. 20 are in debt to the federal government, and another 6 borrowed on the private market. Minnesota came out of debt on April 30th of last year. And so our trust fund is solvent, and it is climbing. Basically, it was a huge recession, and the payouts were tremendous. And then when states run out of money, the federal government automatically loans the states money. So as I said, there are still many states that are trying to climb their way out of debt. And basically our structure is such, and each state has their tax structure is a little different. And with our structure, we basically, in good times, try to keep taxes down to employers. And then when a recession hits, we have some triggers that trigger the rates up so that we can pay ourselves out of debt, and then they trigger back down again. So essentially our tax structure worked quite well. We're being looked at by other states. In October, I went to a convention of all UI programs, all states, all the UI directors, and there was quite a bit of attention to Minnesota and the fact that we were able to recover quickly, the fact we were able to handle the volume of claims that we did. The high water mark was in, I believe, December of 2010. We had about 240,000 Minnesotans drawing benefits. So again, fast forward to right now, even in our busy season, we have 97,000. So things have gone pretty well relative to the recession and recovering from that recession. I'd be happy to answer any specific questions you might have.
All right,
have.
Thank you, Mr. Calgeri. Any questions from committee members for Commissioner Clark Sieben or the testifier? I see that Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate that. I'm a business owner in the construction trades, and so I remember very well December of 2010, and it launched us to actually start our own company as we had no work. So that you brought me back to some wonderful memories there with that little tell. I actually have a question for the commissioner. You had mentioned about helping people with disabilities, mm-hmm. and we have a few family members that hard of hearing and different situations like that. And in speaking with the lobbyist from the Hard of Hearing Deaf and Blind folks, she was saying how incredibly high the unemployment rate is just across that sector for the deaf, blind, and hard of hearing. And I don't remember the exact statistic, but I remember it shocked me. In 33%, and I'm not sure if that's actually the ones that are employed or the ones that are unemployed, but do you happen to know what percentage of that population is unemployed? And I see that you're moving the needle here, but can you tell me as a whole, where did that move that percentage? I mean, is it just like a 1% change, or are we talking a 10% change in employment? Because that would really be important.
Yeah. Commissioner Sieben.
Thank you, Clark. Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm not sure what that exact percentage is, but I would be happy to connect with our director for State Services of the Blind to make sure that we get back to you directly or invite him in to another meeting if you're interested in, and if the chair is interested. I don't know if Rick, if you have any additional information.
Mr. Calgeri, just using my institutional memory, the unemployment numbers for disability communities are controversial. There isn't a really very hard concrete instrument to measure. It's usually survey work, so again, I don't know what that is right now, but it's usually information from, I know Gallup does a survey, and but those were the numbers come from. The Department of Labor does not do a specific breakout for disability.
Representative Kiefer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to the unemployment insurance, you said that during the tough times, their tax actually went up. And I remember going to a Minnesota One conference a couple years ago that's actually kind of counterintuitive to what a model really should be. During the good times, we should be building up our reserves so that during the bad times, we're not hurting the employers and actually maybe helping them with lower costs so they can get more people hired. I'm wondering if there's any talk about changing that model a little bit. I'm glad that we're solvent, but I just wonder if that's ever been discussed or thought about. It'd be a pretty big change in the paradigm.
Mr. Calgeri?
Mr. Chair, Representative, there we do build the trust fund up during good times to a high level. the amount of unemployment of this last great recession was unprecedented, and there were very few states that did not go into debt. I mean, North Dakota didn't go into debt. But, you know, you could probably count about four or five states that did not go into debt. The amount of unemployment and the sheer amount of what you would pay out was horrendous. And the only solution to that, along the lines of what you were saying, would be to tax high and to keep a gigantic trust fund. So I think an analysis over time would demonstrate that the best deal for employers is the model we have, to tax fairly low at a reasonable level, the good times, but you're still building up the trust fund solvency level. And then when you experience these horrendous periods of unemployment like we did with this great recession, again, there's just no way out of that other than to end up borrowing, and then you have to pay back.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kiefer?
I thought I heard you say that you uptick the taxes on the companies or the premium or the unemployment tax, payroll tax. I thought I heard you say that you up that during the tough times.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Representative Mason.
Yes.
Welcome. We introduced ourselves before you came. If you want to just introduce yourself, who you represent, so people know you're here and who you are.
I apologize. The freeway is a little bit slow this morning. My name is Sandra Mason. I represent 51A, which is Western Eagan and Northern Burnsville.
Thank you. Any further questions for our testifiers, Representative Simonson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question, I think, would be for the commissioner. And I'm just wondering, as long as you're here, if you can maybe just give a brief outline of the Angel Investment Tax Credit and what it is and how it works.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, so our Angel Tax Credit Program provides a 25% individual income tax credit for qualified investors that could be investors from Minnesota, from other states. It could also be foreign investors as well. About a third of our investments do come from outside of the state for that program. It allows a maximum credit of $125,000 per year per individual, and a maximum credit of $250,000 for those married and filing jointly. A total of $12.7 million in tax credits is available for 2013. And as of yesterday, $11.4 million is remaining for this year. You're welcome.
And Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner and Directors, good to see both of you again. And I just want to draw members' attention to the back of the handout again here with the Gearinghoff investment in Minnesota. Although it's not in my district, it is in the region that I represent. It bumps up right against my district. And one of the things that was involved in the negotiations of bringing Gearinghoff to central Minnesota, a German company, is they were very, very impressed with Minnesota's work ethic and Minnesota's commitment to the agricultural industry. And the fact that they are have purchased and repurposed a building in St. Cloud that had been shut down as a result of the recession, that was a construction building, to be able to put corn harvesting equipment and start manufacturing that. That is one of the things that we continue to talk about needing to have in Minnesota, is more manufacturing jobs, and here we have a company that's willing to do that. And as we know how important the ag industry is to Minnesota and to our economy, it's nice to see a company like that investing in our state. And there's another chapter to this. They've also optioned some additional property in the area for future expansion. So they do want to make a commitment to Minnesota, and Minnesota is committed to agriculture, so I think it's a very nice hand-in-glove type of a relationship and association. So I just wanted to just share that with the committee.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Representative O'Neill?
Thank you, Chairman. I just have one other question. I was looking back through my notes, and you had mentioned that about 19,000 workers were trained, but you didn't equate that to how many actually got jobs. Can you give me, out of those 19,000, how many actually receive jobs. And I realize that you also have a statistic over here that talks about how many entered the workforce through your services was 83,000. But I'm curious as to the ones that you spent, that's a lot of time and effort and money to retrain. And so I just wanted to know the success rate of that program.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's correct. So 19,000 workers trained. I will follow up on specifically out of that training how many got jobs. We do know that through our business assistance programs there were 2,550 jobs created, but I will look into the training. Related to your earlier question, we do have a DEED employee here from State Services for the Blind that was able to provide some additional notes regarding employment for our disabled Minnesotans. The Department of Labor began collecting that unemployment information about a year ago, and the figure is currently 14% to 15%, but those numbers are still a bit controversial, so we'll follow up with any additional information that we're able to uncover for you.
Thank you. Commissioner, Chairman
O'Neill.
Thank you.
Further question?
A follow-up question to that, then. Can you also let me, if you could explain how much DEED has moved that needle? So if you have, like, a, how successful have you been in placing people with disabilities? Because it's obviously a very high unemployment rate compared to other sectors.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, could you talk a little about the Minnesota Trade Office? It's a small piece, but when did it start, and what is some of its functions?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the Minnesota Trade Office was started about a little over 30 years ago under the Perpich administration. The office at one point had about 50 employees and was focused on both manufactured goods and agriculture products. Since then, the budget has dwindled over the years, currently has 14 employees, and only focuses on manufactured products for export. Our Department of Agriculture assists our agriculture producers with helping to increase exports. The Trade Office has 8 trade representatives that are each focused on a different region of the world and supporting exports to that region of the world. So we provide training opportunities mostly geared towards small and mid-sized companies, helping them to either understand new markets. Canada is a pretty easy first market for many companies to enter with the ease of entry with similar language and easy travel. But we want to make sure that we're expanding our company's reach to other markets as well. So we are trying to introduce through that way. We also have the STEP grant program available for small business that's really had some great success. Small businesses can receive up to $7,500 in a grant, which, while that's a relatively small amount of funds, it did allow about 15 small businesses to attend the China Trade Mission last year with Governor Dayton. I actually just received an email last night from one of our Trade Mission participants who has a deal pretty close to closing. So it's always exciting when you can hear that. And it was their first trip to China to explore that market. And it's an agriculture company. So we do see some real results coming out of those trade missions. Minnesota's, while we have a very skilled trade office, we are a little bit behind compared with some other states' trade offices in the number of overseas offices that we have. The state of Pennsylvania has between 15 to 20 overseas offices that are both focused on increasing exports and also attracting foreign direct investment into the state. The Trade Office has one overseas office currently in Shanghai that we've had since 2005 and are working to increase foreign direct investment and exports from the state. Any other questions I can help answer? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Caligiuri. Any further questions at this time? Seeing none, we are going to adjourn for the day. I don't think there's any other business before us, and we'll see you tomorrow. Give you some time to work on constituent services. So with that, the meeting's adjourned.